Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Today, as we dive into our teaching series, we're really going to begin looking at two words to begin. Two words together. Be holy. Be holy. So, what comes to your mind with no other context, no other lead in, but two words, what comes to your mind? What does this idea of be holy mean to you? Perhaps your mind goes to a dress code, a prohibition on some type of dress or jewelry from the past. Be holy. Maybe you want to say that to do this, you have to be a monk or a nun. You have to live a removed life in obscurity somewhere. Maybe you would say to be holy, what comes to your mind is that you don't watch certain TV shows or you abstain from certain activities or you don't listen to certain types of music. Be holy. Maybe you would want to say today that this brings up for you, that you don't make any more mistakes, that you don't have any failures anymore. Be holy. Let's turn to our teaching text today and see these words in context of our passage. So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, text is on the screen. It's also, there's a YouVersion app created if you're a Bible app user. Reading out of the NIV, it says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Verse 15, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Just as the one who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. In our passage, Peter is giving a direct command. And he's doing so by quoting the very words of the Lord in the Old Testament in Leviticus 11. And so this is not just something Peter made up. It was not his soapbox of the moment. This is a thread. This is a theme, a literal call of the Lord for His people. Be holy. And so we see it repeated here for Peter as he's writing. So this is a command. It's an instruction. So we see that we're to do it. But what is it? What is it? What would you say today? Be holy. I think it's easy for us to hear this command and to feel some level of intimidation. To be a little nervous or scared about the idea. Or maybe we even feel frustrated by it. Why is that? Why is that? Why does be holy seem scary or frustrating or make us nervous? Earlier this week in preparing for today and for the remainder of the series, I asked some of you this very question. Why does it evoke a response from us of nervousness or fear? And here's what some of you said. It says, "I believe most people think it's impossible to be holy, so they are intimidated by the word." Another person said, "It's scary when one tries to live a holy life in their own strength, and then it truly becomes frustrating, trying, but just not able to to do it. For some people, they hear the term holiness and they fear that they cannot achieve perfection or please God due to actions or the past, and thus they feel safer to withdraw and stay away from religion. What would you say today? What is it that intimidates us or calls us to put this idea at arm's distance? Be holy. Regardless of how this idea and these words make us feel, as followers of Jesus, as students of His Word, we cannot escape the fact that this is commanded. Be holy. I don't know about you, but someone telling me to do better because God said so or because Peter said so is not always that helpful. It's not always helpful and it's not always encouraging. You see, I know I need to do better. I want to do better. I want to live differently. I just don't know how. I don't feel like I can. Have you ever been there? You ever felt that? You know you've received Jesus. You've received Him as Lord and Savior, but it seems like sin and failure, they're just lying around every corner of your life. You want to do the right thing. You know what God's Word says, but your temper just keeps coming out. Anger. You want to stop lusting, but your eyes and your internet browser, they just keep haunting you. You try to read the Bible and pray. You try to do those things and those disciplines, but busyness and life come in and they crowd out that desire. And the next thing you know, it's been months since you've read the Bible or prayed. Perhaps you find yourself, you come to a point of failure, a mistake, and you cry out to God, Lord, forgive me, I'll do better. I want to do better. I don't want to do that again. Only to end up there again. Perhaps you keep wondering, what is wrong with me? Why can't I live like everyone else? What's wrong with me? And then you show up to church and some preacher's talking about be holy. Great. Just what I needed. I'm willing to bet some of you are wondering how on earth I read your mind or how I know your story. I can't, and I probably don't. But I've been there. I know what that's like. Friend, if that's you today, if you can resonate with this conversation, that difficulty, that circling back around again and again, I just want to invite you to slow down. Let's pay attention to what we're desiring to do to push back from the Scripture. Let's slow down and make space to lean in and listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. To listen to what He's speaking and what He's calling us to. Because you see, all of that burden, all of the do's and the don'ts, the regulations, that's really not holiness at all. In our teaching text, Peter, he's writing to Christians who are literally being hunted down and executed under the Roman persecution. I struggle to imagine that he is simply writing to them to say, suck it up and do better. I struggle with that. You see, I think he's calling them to something different. I think he's calling them to consider their heart condition, their heart level desires, and their relationship with the Lord. He's calling them to look deeper. To consider their connection with the Lord and to allow that to shape their lives. You see, I believe Peter, he's commanding holiness because he knew that it was the healing and it was the power that they desperately needed in their life. Be holy. He wanted them to experience not just the salvation of Christ, but he wanted them to experience the healing and the freedom found in him. And friends, that freedom and that healing is available to you this morning through Christ Jesus. I want to welcome you to our new teaching series called Holiness as Wholeness. Holiness as Wholeness. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take this journey to see holiness not as a set of religious stipulations and rules, but rather as gracious wholeness and healing. Gracious wholeness and healing for our lives in the here and now. You see, holiness is a key distinctive for us as a church. We just brought in members to the Church of the Nazarene. Well, the Church of the Nazarene, globally, we're the largest denomination in the classical Wesleyan holiness tradition. And so this idea is founded in the scriptures and matured and brought clear in the tradition of John Wesley. And we believe that God calls us to holy living. But we don't believe holiness is a dress code or a burdensome list of rules. We believe that holiness is life. That holiness is life. It's experiencing the ongoing healing and freeing power of Christ at work in us. So friends, that means holiness is good news. It's good news today. It restores us to God's design for our lives. It makes us whole. It makes us whole. As we get back into our teaching text there in 1 Peter, we want to begin this series with a kind of an introductory, a primer, if you will, in this idea of holiness. We perhaps want to even identify some of the baggage that we're carrying into the conversation about holiness. And so let's begin at our teaching text, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter is written by the disciple and friend of Jesus we see in the Gospels, the Apostle Peter. It's believed that he's writing in the mid-60s A.D., and so that puts him, 30 years beyond the cross and the resurrection. So some time has passed, and Peter is writing to Christians in and around Rome who are experiencing the persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero. And this persecution was ruthless and horrific as it spread the Roman Empire. And so Peter's writing. He wants to send an encouragement, a letter of hope to remind the believers there of who they are in Christ and the victory that's been won by him. He opens his letter, if you would begin back at the very beginning, he opens his letter affirming the wondrous work of Christ and the hope that we have in him. And Peter, now much older than what we see him in the Gospels, he's writing to fan the flame of faith, to breathe life into the hope of these weary and persecuted believers. And in verse 13, where our teaching text begins, he turns to a response to how they're to live, to how to live out this beautiful hope and truth that they have. And so let's look at verse 13 again. It says, "Therefore, with minds that are fully alert and sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." Depending on your translation, some of the older translations have it here. I love it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Like, you've had, honey, we need to go to town. Gird up your loins. What? No, so think about this for a minute. This idea of gird up your loins, we might say roll up your sleeves. It's this idea of get ready, get engaged, gird up your loins of your mind. And so what Peter is calling attention to here, he's for his audience, it wasn't the time for them to be sloppy or lazy mentally or spiritually. It's time for them to be alert, to be focused on what's happening. But it's interesting, he calls for the focus not on what's happening, but he calls for focus and alertness on Christ and his coming. Boy, that would preach for a long time. Focus and be alert. Concentrate on the hope of Christ's return and his ultimate victory. His ultimate victory. So he continues, he says in verse 14, with girded up loins of your mind, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Again, that's quoted out of Leviticus. It's interesting to me here in this verse that when Peter is calling them out, when he's encouraging them on, he doesn't point out specific actions and things they used to do, does he? He doesn't talk about or specifically mention the way they used to talk or the way they used to dress or what they used to drink. He doesn't talk about any of those specifics. He says, do not conform, don't give in, don't budge an inch to those old desires. Those old desires. You see, he's pointing beyond the action to the heart condition, to the heart motive. And he's saying, look, don't go back there. Don't be ruled by those old desires that used to run your life. Don't go back there. And it's a heart thing. You remember Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, he says, it's out of the heart comes all sorts of evil. And so Peter is saying, look, don't go back. Now we know all of the actions, all of the outward things are motivated from within. But what Peter laser focuses in on is calling for alertness. He says, don't conform, don't go back in that place of your heart. Don't go there. Don't let those old passions, don't let those old desires rule over you. Don't let them call the shots. And then he sets up a contrast. Now watch this. He says, but, so don't conform, don't conform to the evil desires you had, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So over here on one side, we have the old desires, the old way, the old flesh calling the shots. And Peter says, don't go back there, but rather step over here, be holy. The word there in the original language, it's speaking this idea of be holy. It's to be set apart for God, totally his. And so he's saying, don't conform over here in your heart to those old desires. Don't let that run your life. Bring your heart and everything you are into relationship with him. Be holy. He starts with the heart, doesn't he? He starts with the heart. Rather than living a life that's fueled by desire and passion that we used to live, surrender yourself to the Lord. Be holy. Friends, that's the essence of holiness. It absolutely has moral and ethical implications because what's in our heart is gonna come out. But he starts in here. He says, don't live out of that place. Don't live out of that place. Be holy. Be holy. You see, this call is a call of intimacy. It's a call of surrender. It's a call of relationship with the Lord where we're not holding back. We're not letting our old ways call the shots anymore. He's on the throne of our life as Lord. You remember we started with this conversation about that sick and tired of being sick and tired feeling. Of knowing salvation, of knowing you've prayed the prayer, you want to follow after Him, but we feel like we just keep failing and being defeated. You see, we know God's salvation, but we just keep messing up. There's this pull, there's this desire, like something's working against us from the inside. Well, friends, we believe that inner pull, those old desires are coming from a sinful nature. From the inner part of our heart and our being, that though we're forgiven, though we know Christ as Savior, that desire, that nature remains. And there's the conflict. There's the tension. You see, it's that sinful nature that constantly we're doing war with it. It's that nature that Peter's calling out and talking. I said, don't live out of that place. Be holy. Holy. Stonewall Park here in Elkton. And y'all familiar with that? Where the ball fields are, the park is. Anybody remember about a year ago they paved the walking track through the ball fields? That was about March of last year. Well, I go down there and walk some, and we'll walk and pray and be there. And anyway, last year they put down, they wanted to complete the walking trail. It's almost a mile. It's a beautiful place if you haven't been there. Well, last year, they put down the prettiest, cleanest, smoothest black asphalt you've ever seen. There's just something about a fresh-laid pavement that is soothing to the soul. And y'all are thinking I'm really weird. But it's like when the teacher used to get the sponge and wash the chalkboard, right? Kids, chalkboards are these old slate. No, I'm just kidding. But, right, it's that feeling of just, everything's right in the world. Well, there was this black asphalt there, and to a brain with some OCD tendencies, it's just refreshing. I don't know. Call me weird. It's fine. I'm over it. Well, it had this look, right, of this pristine, clean asphalt. Loved it. Walking trail. Well, I was there, and I start to notice these little humps in the asphalt. I'm going, what is that? And they're scattered about. I'm going, what is going on here? Why are they messing up my asphalt? Well, so come back sometime later. Well, these little humps have popped out little blades of green grass. And so you're really wondering because I took a picture and I have it from a year ago. Think about this. This is inches of asphalt that little blades of grass have boop. This stopped me in my tracks when I saw it. Not because it ruined a perfectly good walking track, but because this is a picture so often of our Christian life. We come in and we come to the Lord and we want to just pave over everything. But it just keeps sprouting back, doesn't it? We try so hard to fix things, to put a beautiful front on, to lay down a fresh start, but boop, it's real. We're working, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get a hold of this fresh layer of asphalt? And then it comes back. It comes back. And so what do? We get the weed eater. Boop. Y'all want me to think about that? Sin management. You see, why this keeps coming back is because it's not been dealt with beneath. Why does sin keep haunting and ravaging and claiming the victory in our lives? Because it hasn't been dealt with at the heart level. We try to just manage it and pave over it. And God is calling us, son, daughter, let me do the deep work. That's holiness. Deal with it underneath the surface. Stop trying to just pave over it and manage it. Get it at the center of your being. Holiness. This is exhausting. Because we'll try this for years. It's exhausting. This is what Peter's calling his people. Don't go back there. Don't live out of those old desires. Be holy. Be holy. Friends, that's the reason. When things keep popping up in our life, when the grassroots just keep showing up, it's because it's coming from that sinful nature that's still alive in our hearts. Those desires remain. Yes, we are absolutely forgiven. We absolutely know the life of Christ, but that inner condition remains. And it's that nature we do war with. It's what causes these things to just sprout out when we would least expect it. And so the invitation of holiness is to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in dealing with our lives at the heart level, underneath the surface, where our desires and motives live, that at the very innermost of our being, we would be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And friends, it's possible. It's possible today because of the blood of Jesus and His great grace and mercy, not just to forgive you, but to purify and transform your heart. And it is a categorically different way of living. It's not just paving over it to look pretty for a minute. It's real transformation. And it's real power because it's Him, you see? It's Him alive and at work within you. That's holiness. And it's for you. For you. Y'all can come back up. I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. So the invitation of holiness is to surrender, right? Because the old nature, we want to call our shots, we call it doing our thing. We got to give that up. God's going to lead us to a crisis moment where we're going to have to decide, am I going to live my old way? I'm not going to be holy. And He'll lead you there by His grace. But you have to respond. You have to say yes. And invite Him. You have to invite Him. Do we still need to grow? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do we still need to learn? Oh, do we ever? Do we still need time to heal? Oh, yeah. But friends, the difference is that our hearts have been purified and filled with His Spirit. We're not divided anymore. There's not a war in here. He's brought His peace where the war used to be. Because it's Him. It's Him. That's holiness. That's holiness. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to unpack this further. We're going to try to see it in life and understand it from different angles. All scriptural, and we're not going crazy or anything, but like just to try to get handles on this thing. We've entitled this series very intentionally, Healing as Wholeness, because we believe that it's by the grace of God through salvation that He desires not just to forgive us, but He desires to cleanse us from the inside, to deal with our hearts at a heart level. So we're going to explore that. We're going to explore sin and how that nature affects us. And through it all, we want to see the life that Christ came to offer. What did He say? What did Jesus say? I have come that you might have life. And what kind of life? Life to the full. It's holiness. So our goal this week, it was just to try to get started. Let's get in the conversation together. Let's start the journey. Peter's not the only one to talk about this. If you flipped over to Hebrews, the author there says, make every effort. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Make every effort. So as we begin this journey today, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. To the person that this that has been struggling or that has felt like they're a master at putting down new pavement, but that just keeps coming back to you today, brother or sister. Maybe this sounds like a cruel joke. Like to live that kind of life just doesn't seem real. I'm asking you today, would you take a step of faith? Take a piece of faith the size of a mustard seed and just say, okay, God, I believe. I believe that you can do it. Would you take that step today? Here's the thing. I cannot imagine God who's all working through the authors of Scripture, pouring out his life and his call. I cannot imagine God who loves us, who died for us. I cannot imagine him commanding something he didn't also make possible. Whether I understand it or not is a moot point. I cannot imagine him commanding something he didn't make possible. So will you believe him today? Take that step of faith. Would you stand with me as we pray, those who are able? Will you take the Lord at his word? That holiness is not a faraway concept. It's not for board members or pastors or life group leaders. No, it's for every person who calls Jesus Lord. Will you take him at his word today and begin that journey? Say yes. Lord, I believe that you commanded it and that you made it possible. Say yes. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you commanded it. Be holy. Lord, I believe you made it possible. So I want to say yes to you, Lord. Lord, that whatever you have accomplished in the cross, whatever you accomplished in your resurrection, whatever you are accomplishing even now in the ministry of your Spirit, Lord, all that is possible, Jesus, this side of eternity, I want in. I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm tired of living, playing whack-a-mole game with sin in my life. I want you to deal with it at a different level, God. And I want to give you the rightful place of Lord in my life. So Lord, come, search my heart. At this tension moment of, am I going to keep living the way I've been living, calling my own shots? I'm not going to say yes to you. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit, come. Holiness is a work that only you can do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We want to say yes to you. It's in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.